Blog Talk Radio.
You've seen them talk on Twitter. You've seen the articles around the web. Now, hear them live. It's the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable on the Fantasy Sports Channel on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Jim Day. You know him as Fantasy Taz on Twitter. Go ahead, give him a tweet. Now, here's your host, Jim Day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable. This is week two. That's right, week two. We are into it, the madness. We saw week one, what it had to offer, and wow, was it just nuts. We had a rookie quarterback that many, including myself, didn't think would do much as a professional football player, go off and throw for 422 yards last week. And the key point about that I'm going to make is that he threw for more yards in his rookie game than some Hall of Famers ever threw in a single game. That includes Fran Tarkenton, Jim Kelly, Terry Bradshaw, Bart Starr. None of them ever threw for more yards than Cam Newton threw in his first game. Just had to throw that out there. I just thought that was amazing. I don't know if it's because Cam Newton just had such a great game or it's because Arizona is just that bad. No Brian Quinlan tonight, unfortunately. He had to mule something back from Mexico, and we haven't heard back from him yet. So hopefully he's okay, and either that or he's going to bathroom, whatever. We have a special guest host tonight. He's going to be joining me. And he's the wild man, Mr. Bill Rossetti. He has his own blog from fantasycorral.blogspot.com. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Jim. How you doing? Thanks so much for having me on, man.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. It's always good to have people to talk with. So we got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. We got things from, you know, last week's games. We got a lot of players that we're going to go over shortly as soon as the chat room starts to fill up some more about players that are injury concerns for the week, and we'll go over the whole list of who looks to be playing as of now and who doesn't. We'll talk about them a little bit. Also, if anybody out there has any concerns or start sit questions, you want to give us a call for the first hour, feel free. Bill and I will answer your call. It's 347-327-9748. Again, that's 347-327-9748. And we will gladly answer your call. And, of course, you're listening to the Sports Geeks Radio Network, sportsgeeksradio.com. Shows every night of the week. Make sure you check them out. Always some good stuff. Of course, we are the only fantasy show on the network, as it should be. So let's get to it. We got a lot of great stuff to cover tonight. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the second hour. We've got some good questions, some good people coming on. Brian Fontaine from Pro Football Focus and Eric Dickens from Dynasty League Football will be joining us. So it's we got a lot of good things to cover. The one, I got to get to it. I mean, we touched on Cam Newton, and I got to talk about it a little more. It just surprised the heck out of me. I'll be honest. There's no doubt about it. I thought this kid was going to have a rough time. Now, again, Arizona defense, we know, not great. They didn't get any pressure on him. But the bigger part to me was just the fact that he completed almost 65% of his passes, which was phenomenal. He had a quarterback rating of a little over 110. You know, there's quarterbacks in this league that have been doing this for a while that just dream of having 110. You know, I have to go out there and say that I think a lot of this was because of their offensive coordinator. Rob Chudzinski has always been a guy who makes offenses move, and he doesn't care who's quarterbacking. He made Derek Anderson a Pro Bowl player back when he had him way back in the day. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he turns Cam Newton into a very good quarterback. You know, they obviously they're limiting the plays that they're running. They did a lot of, like, reads were only half the field. You know, they didn't really go deep into, you know, reading third, fourth receivers. They were real quick on their reads and who they were going to get the ball to, which is what you would like to see out of a rookie quarterback anyway. You want to get him to have the ball out of his hands quickly, being able to get it to the receivers fast so they can do their job. But ultimately, I just didn't see him coming out and having anywhere near this type of game. What's your thoughts on Cam Newton? Is this something we can expect to see going forward? Now, I'm not saying 400 yards or, you know, that kind of game, but can we expect Cam Newton to be a viable fantasy, even quarterback two for the rest of the season?
Well, the one thing that I took away watching some highlights was just how bad some of the throws were. Some of the receivers, to me, looked like they had to make some weird moves just to get to the ball. It's amazing how we got to 400 yards. And we all saw the first Steve Smith touchdown where basically it was Kerry Rhodes blown coverage. He was in the wrong spot, left Steve Smith wide open, and Newton was able to hit him. Quarterback two, maybe he definitely can throw for, you know, 200 or 300 yards possibly a game. This week, I don't know. I would definitely stay away from him this week. That Green Bay defense is just too good. I think they're going to really cover Steve Smith. And with Otah being out, or possibly out, Cam's in for a rough week this week. But for the rest of the season, he possibly could be a number two. I'd probably say a low-end number two, low to mid-tier number two.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. And, of course, you know, Green Bay this week, they're going to throw everything at him. And, you know, the one thing Arizona didn't do was throw a lot of blitzes at him. And obviously Green Bay is going to do all that. And we understand that. Although Green Bay may be without their top quarter, Tremont Williams may not be playing this week. So that may give Steve Smith a little extra edge here. So I wouldn't be so quick to count him out this week. All he's got to do is catch one or two of those plays and break it, and he's gone. And he's definitely still got the speed to do that. We saw him last week do it. So it's definitely a possibility that he continues that. You know, it's a crazy thing to say, but I just think that this coordinator, Chudzinski, is just smart enough to know how to limit Cam Newton to where he can do just what he knows how to do and be successful at it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go out and all of a sudden crush every team in the league, and he's going to go out and throw for 300 yards every game. But I just think that they're going to make him do smart passes when the time needs it. And I think he's going to surprise some people at this point. And that's a direct 180 for me, because I was definitely in the preseason. I just didn't like what I saw even before training camp. I just didn't think he'd have the, determination to go out there and work as hard as he would have to become a good NFL quarterback. And, you know, definitely a good start for the kid. So kudos to him. We do have a couple of questions here in the chat room, so let's go over them. Non-PPR, here we go with the scrolling bar again. Non-PPR, start or sit, wide receiver, and this is for Philly Sports Stalker. He wants to know, Kenny Britt versus Baltimore or Steve Johnson versus Oakland? Who do you like out of this matchup, Britt or Johnson?
I'm Britt all the way. I think Baltimore may possibly go up big early on Tennessee. That's going to force Tennessee to throw it a lot. And the one guy Hasselbeck's going to look to when they're down big is Kenny Britt. We saw it last week with Jacksonville. Britt was the guy he hit a lot. I'm all in on Britt this year.
Yeah, I'll agree with most of what you said, but, you know, Baltimore is not Jacksonville, as, you know, Pittsburgh will probably come out and tell you. So I definitely think that has a little bit more to do with it this week, and while I agree with almost everything else you say, I'm actually going to turn it around and say I can go with Steve Johnson this week. Britt is definitely a playmaker, and he could still snap off a long one. I just don't think he's going to get as many shots at it this week. I think Hasselbeck is going to have a hard time getting free time enough to get to Britt downfield. So that bothers me a little bit. I don't see the same problem with Fitz, Steve Johnson. I think we're going to see Steve Johnson have a good game. It's a tough situation. They're good. Both guys obviously had a great first week, and, you know, both guys are playmakers for the teams, and no doubt about it. But at the same time, I just don't think Oakland's going to be able to stop Buffalo from throwing the ball. I think that, you know, Kyle Orton was even able to throw the ball pretty well against Oakland last week. The secondary's beat up. They lost to Asamoah. I just think Steve Johnson is a good play there. And he also wants to know, start or sit running back, I guess also in the non-PPR, Hightower versus Arizona or Tolbert versus New England? So who do you go there?
It's a tough one, actually. You know, I think both running backs would be a nice play, but I'm probably going to go with Tolbert. I think he's going to get more carries or more touches than Matthews. I think he's got a great chance to find the end zone. This game, to me, is going to be a shootout, so I think a lot of players are going to have a chance to score, so I'd probably go Tolbert on this one.
Well, the team has definitely come out and said Tolbert's near number one now. He's going to get the most work. You know, there's no doubt about it. So Ryan Williams, you know, Matthews is definitely taking a back seat here. Tolbert is going to be their guy. But I don't think anybody had more touches last week in Hightower, and even against, not a great Giants defense, but they're still pretty good against the run. He ended up with almost 100 yards. Against Arizona, I think he could do a lot more damage than that. I'm actually going to go with Hightower here. I just like his matchup. And, you know, Washington looked good last week, made smart decisions all over the field. I think they're going to do the same again this week. So it is what it is. So let's see. Plus, Hightower has the added bonus of, you know, playing against his own old team. You always have that little extra impetus when you're going against your old team, you know, because you want to have something to prove. You know, last year, somebody tweeted it was really good, great point last week, was that, you know, last year neither Hightower nor Wells could do anything, and now they're both starting and both look good in week one. What a difference a year makes. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays going forward. Okay, I thought there was another one in there, but I missed it. Here it is, Rude Awakening. He wants two of Hightower, Wells, Gronkowski, and Vernon Davis in a league that's 1.5 points per reception for tight ends. So the tight ends get extra bonus. This is a FFPC league, more than likely. So who do you like here? He needs two, Hightower, and it's PPR for other positions, you know, 1 point. Hightower, Wells, Gronkowski, or Davis, and he needs two of them in a 1.5 PPR league. Who would you go with?
Well, the 1.5 PPR, I think Gronkowski definitely has a chance to get a lot of grabs, so I'll definitely take Gronkowski out of that group. And I would probably go with Hightower as well. Like you said, Hightower's probably going to get a lot of catches, a lot of touches, rather. And he'll probably get involved in the passing game as well, because Rex looks like he's probably going to throw it. So I would probably definitely pick Hightower and Gronkowski out of those two.
Well, there you go. We finally agree. I'm going to go the same. I would go Hightower and Gronkowski. I like Davis, but, you know, that until that passing offense really gets going, I think you got to shy away a little bit. So I would stay away from him. It is tough. Rude is saying in the bench, Vernon Davis, that's tough. It is tough, Rude, but you got to make those tough choices every once in a while. Step up. Be a man. We know you can do it.
Dallas' defense is definitely going to pose a challenge for Alex Smith. He may not get many opportunities tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the part that scares me. It has nothing to do with Davis. It's Alex Smith and whether or not they come after him hard, and they're going to come after him hard. I don't see any reason why they don't. So they're going to go after him, you know, crazy. Mr. Bass, 919, has a question. Should he go with Jared Cook or Ed Dixon at tight end with a 0.5 PPR? Jared Cook was a guy that was high on a lot of people's radars coming into the season. You know, everybody thought he was going to have a breakout year, look good in preseason, finished up last season pretty strongly, comes into week one, and Hasselbeck doesn't even look at him. He had two targets, didn't do anything. Ed Dixon, meanwhile, went out and had a really good game. I'm looking for him to do it again. To me, it's no question. I go Ed Dixon. How about you?
Yeah, I was a big Jared Cook fan in the preseason as well. I was like, this guy looked great at the end of last season. Hasselbeck's going to look his way, and he comes out and he gets a dud in week one. So I got to go Dixon. It looks like he's starting to get a nice rapport with Flacco. So for me, it's Dixon.
Well, there you go. And folks, again, if you got a start and sit question, we got 45 more minutes to the first hour. Feel free to call in. The number is 347-327-9748. get on the air with us. We will answer your questions. Tidewater's got one. In a .5 PPR, Blount or Turner? Who do you like this week? You like the old burner Turner, or you like Blount who didn't do anything last week?
Ugh, two guys who can't catch in a PPR. What a tough pick. I would maybe go Turner because I think the way you beat the Eagles is to try and run it. So I think Atlanta may try to run the ball a lot on the Eagles just to keep Vic off the field. So Turner may get a lot of opportunity. So that's a tough one, but I'm probably going to go Turner on this one.
You know what? I'm not. I was talking Blount up all off season. I still think that they just did a totally wrong thing last week in taking the ball out of his hands so early. Just can't do that to one of your playmakers. And let's face it, he is one of their playmakers. I don't care if he's not protecting Freeman enough or if he's not catching enough passes. They weren't down far enough to where they could take him out of the game the way they did. They made a major mistake. If they do it again, then they're just hurting themselves as a team. I don't think they do it this week. I think Blount goes up out and has a good game. So I'm going with Blount. We got another one from Jason, PPR Flex. He wants to know with Beanie Wells, Tampa Mike Williams, or McGahee. Oh, McGahee is that lovely pick this week with Noshawn Moreno looking to be out. So who are you liking? Do you like that flash pick with McGahee, or are you going to go with Beanie Wells, who Arizona, of course, is playing Washington, Tampa Mike, who's playing Minnesota this week. Who do you like out of that?
I got to go Mike Williams on this one. I know he's going up against, I think he'd be going up against Antoine Winfield, right? But
most of the times he probably won't because Winfield slides into the slot on most passing downs, so he won't be really covering him on a lot of those plays.
Okay. But either way, I'm definitely a Mike Williams fan. I know people are down on him just because he's facing the Vikings secondary, but I still think he's Freeman's guy. I've been a Williams fan throughout, so I've definitely got to go Mike Williams on this one.
Well, I like Mike Williams as well, but I'm going Beanie Wells. I almost always want to go that running back you know is going to touch the ball as opposed to the wide receiver who hopes to touch the ball. So in this case, I'm going Beanie Wells. You know, Washington looked good last week and all that, but the Giants never really attempted to really get the running game going. Arizona's going to have to in this one. I definitely go Beanie Wells here. Forget McGahee. I'm sorry. I'm just not sold on McGahee. I'll talk about him a little bit more later. It really comes down to Wells and Mike Williams. And while I like both of them, I'm going to go with Beanie there. Philly Sports Talkers got two more. Tough call. Non-PPR. Romo versus San Francisco or Fitzpatrick versus Oakland. Wow, guys. You know, don't make out the mole out of the molehill. Romo was having a great game last week until the fourth quarter meltdown. At one point in that game, something crazy, like 20 of 27 for 309 yards and two touchdowns before the end of the game meltdown. Don't overthink it. Go Romo. Don't even go past that. I mean, Fitzpatrick had a great game last week, but he's not going to do that this week, I don't think. Not to that tune anyway. I'd go Romo. Non-PPR running back, Wells versus Washington or Felix Jones versus San Francisco? I'll let you take this one. Who do you like, Wells or Felix Jones?
Oh, another tough one. I'd probably go Felix Jones on this one, though. I think what you just said about Romo, he's probably going to he'll have a great game against San Francisco. He'll definitely dump it off to Jones. They do have a pretty good run defense, but I think Jones will find his way. I think he finds the end zone this week.
Ooh, I doubt it. I'm going Wells. Felix Jones, I'm just not loving his chances to get in the end zone. I wouldn't be surprised if they make that switch, get somebody in on the goal line that takes that chance away from him. I'm going with Wells. Rubber duck, bonus points at 300 yards or long TDs. Boy, I hate this scroller. Flacco or Schaub this week? Do you like Flacco or Schaub?
I got to go Schaub this week. I think Houston may try to do what New England did last week, hopefully hit Daniels a lot this week. So, and it's definitely going to be a lot closer game, I would think, than last week against the Colts. So I think Schaub's definitely going to have to throw it. So I'm going to go Schaub.
That's definitely a tough call. Flacco looked good last week. He's going into Tennessee this week. Not the greatest of places to play. I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to go with Schaub. I just think he's going to get into it. I think they need to get that passing game going. It's going to be interesting to see how it works. But that's a tough one. But I go Schaub. Let's see. Knicks or Chris Johnson in a PPR with a long TD bonus? Who do you like there?
Wow.
Okay, well, while you make up your mind, Tennessee, again, is playing Baltimore. Baltimore just beat the piss out of Pittsburgh last week. They came out looking good. Until they show me they're not going to play like that again, I'm definitely thinking Chris Johnson's not to play this week. I go Knicks all the way. Just got to hope you have a backup, and in this case, he has a backup in case Knicks doesn't go. He will take a hit. He'll have to play Salas instead of Knicks, but I think the upside is worth it. But that's a tough one. I could definitely see people going for Chris Johnson. I just don't like Chris Johnson this week. Okay, Henry Muto. Oh, my partner in crime, Henry Muto, in the chat room. Hey, Henry. He wants to know, which of these three studs do you start this week? Mike Thomas versus Revis, Stewart versus Green Bay, or Mike Williams versus Pitt? That's a tough one. Can we say none of the above, Henry? Is that possible? But if that's not possible, then I'm going to go with Mike Thomas just because. I think he's going to get the most looks out of these guys. But neither one of these guys, I would be looking everywhere to start somebody over any one of these guys this week, Henry. So if that's really your decision you have to make, then, brother, you are a better man than I. Either that or the drafting didn't go too well. Shadow Funk wants to know, which tight end in standard scoring, Dallas Clark or Aaron Hernandez this week? Now, we saw Hernandez go off last week. We saw Clark do with Collins back there. Do you have any more feeling for Collins this week, or you just say go Hernandez all the way?
I still got to go Clark. I think Collins eventually will start to hit Clark. I think he's got to realize that Clark is definitely a big part of that offense. And he's the only tight end on the offense. I'm not a fan of going the two, will it be Hernandez? Will it be Gronk? So I'm going Clark.
Okay, well, does it help the situation at all to know that San Diego is usually pretty bad against tight ends?
that helps a little bit, I guess. But I'll still go Clark.
Okay, well, I'm going Hernandez. I think Brady's on a mission. He's going to use Gronkowski and Hernandez as basically his number two and number three wide receiver. So I think both of these guys are going to continue to get plenty of playing time. I go Hernandez until Collins remembers how to throw again. Okay, PC Keen, he's got non-PPR, Blount or Gore. So who do you like this week, Blount or Gore? San Francisco is, of course, playing Dallas.
I'm going Blount. I'm not really feeling Frank Gore this week. I think Dallas swarms up that San Francisco offense. I got to go Blount. I'm just not feeling Gore this week.
Yeah, that's a tough one, but I agree. I think Blount comes out and has a good game this time. I think if they screw it up again, then it's all on Tampa Bay and they get what they deserve. Any team that plans on counting on Ernest Graham to win them games is in trouble right from the get-go. Let's keep going. We've got lots of questions coming up, so we'll keep going with the questions. They are what these people want to know. Jason Wright, 25, good friend of mine, been playing against him for years, tough fantasy football competitor. 6-point TD passes, Eli Manning versus St. Louis, possibly without Knicks, or Mark Sanchez versus Jacksonville? Are you ready to put Eli Manning on a pedestal with Mark Sanchez, or do you think Eli still stands above him?
I think Eli still stands above him. I got to go Eli. I'm still not that sold on Sanchez. I'm not buying Sanchez over Eli just yet. I got to go Eli, and I think this game's going to be a bit of a shootout.
And I kind of agree with you, and I do. I go Eli, too, but I'm not all that down on Sanchez that most people seem to be. Kid just seems to win the big games when he has to, and, you know, he's not the greatest fantasy quarterback yet, and he may never get to be that great fantasy quarterback, but he's getting to be one heck of an NFL quarterback, whether you like it or not. He wins games that are close and tight, and he does all the right things, and just seems to take over, and I love quarterbacks that do that. At this point in time, I'd rather have Sanchez than Eli, as most people would probably be yelling at me saying, that's idiotic. Well, I don't care. Eli makes too many dumb mistakes. Sanchez doesn't. Who dat 6'12". He's got a Dez issue, as we're going to say. Dez Bryant looks like, you know, a game-time decision at best, but a lot of people down there are saying it doesn't look like he's going to go. So he needs in a PPR. He doesn't say. I guess he just needs one. Mike Thomas, Austin Collie, Arrington from New Orleans, Ogletree, or Dez? Well, if Dez goes, absolutely Dez. If Dez doesn't go, Ogletree, you know, may present a little bit of a value there. But, you know, I'm going with Collie. I know he didn't do much last year, but he was still targeted in the red zone. He's too good to be left out too often. I just don't buy it. I know Evan Silva over at Roto-World is basically counting Collie out for the season. I just think that's an overreaction from week one. Something we'll probably talk a lot about as we go on through this night, because it just seems to be the course of fantasy football to overreact to week one, people doing it all over the place. But now I'm going Collie there. I think Collie rebounds this week and actually has a pretty decent game against a suspect defense. So let's keep going.
Can we make it like a national holiday too? National Overreaction Day or something?
It's getting close to it. I mean, people, like we were talking off air, you know, people dropping Colston. I saw a couple people drop Collie. You know, people ready to get rid of Blount. People ready to get rid of all these players that didn't do anything in week one and pick up all these guys that had a great week one. I think I saw somebody drop Blount to pick up Marcell Reese from Oakland because Reese scored last week. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's, you know, that's like the king of overreaction Monday. These guys just killing me with stuff like that. Ryan Downey in the chat room wants to know, Jacoby Ford or Jerome Simpson in a non-PPR? Well, I'll make this one easy for you, Ryan. Jacoby Ford is out. So by hook or by crook, you're going to have to go with Jerome Simpson if that's your only choice. okay. BC Lions wants to know about a trade in a PPR dynasty. Brandon Marshall and Santana Moss for Mike Williams and Steve Smith. So which side of that trade would you want to be in a PPR dynasty? Marshall and Moss or Mike Williams and Steve Smith?
I'm going Mike Williams and Steve Smith because, like I said, I'm becoming a big Mike Williams fan. And Steve Smith certainly would be nice to have if he can keep going like he did week one. So I'd probably go with the Mike Williams side.
Well, you know, it's tough. The thing that might swing me is the fact that Marshall is basically one more stupid, idiotic off-field episode from possibly missing a year. and that scares me a little bit. You know, there's got to be a little bit of concern there. I do love Mike Williams, but, you know, Brandon Marshall is also an exceptional receiver. This one's tough. It's really close. But I also think if I'm in a dynasty, I want to get that young, up-and-coming, you know, stud in the making, and to me that's Mike Williams. So I would go with the Mike Williams side, but it's absolutely tough. Santana Moss is always one of the most underrated wide receivers in football, so that really comes down to it. Let's see. We got a few more in here. Guys, I'm trying to catch up, so bear with me. Ryan Downey now wants to know Jerome Simpson or Randall Cobb for this week. Okay, so I finally caught up to him. So Would you go Randall Cobb with the off chance he gets a chance to play and do something like he did week one, or you go with Jerome Simpson and with Andy Dalton throwing to him?
Ooh, I got to go Simpson. Too many weapons in Green Bay for me for Cobb. I think if starting Cobb, I think you're just banking on the fact that he may return one again. So,
well, we don't even know if he gets return yards, so that may not have anything to do with it. He may just get something out of being a wide receiver and not return yards. So,
right.
And I agree with you. Simpson's going to have to get more chances, I would imagine. But Dalton just scares the bejesus out of me. I think they should just let Gretkowski quarterback for now until Dalton gets a little bit more time in on the bench. But we'll see. Robert Wright in the chat room is saying Sanchez didn't win that game. He does diddly squat diddly poo, Jim. Well, you're right. He didn't win that game. But last year, you go back and look at some of those tight games. He won two games in overtime on the road, first time that's ever been done. Believe me, he wins the big games, guys. So we'll talk about that. And of course, Experto chimes in. He'll take Sanchez over Romo and Bradford. Yeah, well, that's Experto for you. let's see. Okay, keep going. Shadow Funk wants to know, Houston Texans or Chicago Bears defense? Houston, of course, playing Miami, and Chicago's playing New Orleans. Well, in this case, I'm going to go with Houston just for the fact I think, you know, Henny could make more mistakes than Breeze will, which could end up affecting him, but I don't expect Breeze to make a lot of mistakes at home, and I expect Breeze to put up a lot of points, even against a tough Chicago defense. So I would go with Houston there. But, you know, defenses are always crapshoots, no matter what. Mr. Bass 919 has another question. He needs to start one in a flex, 0.5 PPR, Sean Green, McGahee, or Macklin. Wow, that's a tough one. Worsterer and worsterest. I don't like Sean Green. I don't like Sean Green. I don't like Sean Green. But that being said, I'm not going to go with Sean Green. I'm going to go with Macklin. I know he didn't do anything last week. I'm pretty sure he's going to get much more involved this week. I think Sean Green is going to be pushed aside for Bilal Powell any day now. And I'm not sold on McGahee being an every down back. I'm sorry. It's been a while since he had any chance to do that. Do you agree with me or disagree?
And
watch it,
because
I have
you.
My hands on the mute button as we speak.
I got to agree with you. I'm not liking Sean Green either. I mean, how long did it take for them to throw LT right in there? They're
yeah,
trying to
really,
catch on just like we are.
All. That was, yeah, I mean, all offseason, all we heard was, oh, it's going to be Sean Green's team. He's going to pound the rock. And he got in there and didn't pound the rock. And they said, okay, screw that. LT, you're
well,
right.
It's just Rex Ryan's big mouth.
Yeah. But, you know, well, I think a lot of it, and we talked about this at the time, I think a lot of it was to try and get Sean Green motivated, to try and get him, you know, feeling that pressure that he had to be the guy.
And it's obviously not working.
Yeah, really. Okay, PC Keen has another one, non-PPR flex. He wants to know if he should play Darren Sproles or Starks from Green Bay. I know everybody's in love with Sproles after the week he had last week, but that was a PPR, gives him nice value, and non-PPR doesn't. I don't like his chances to start, to score, so I absolutely go Starks. I think Green Bay gets up early. Starks gets a ton of work in this one. Starks is the easy play for me there, no doubt about it. We won't even go on to that. Let's see. Duck wants to know if I like young studs. Absolutely, Duck. As often as I can get them. The boys wants to know, in a standard league, Cadillac Williams or Starks? Now, this one's a little tighter, but what do you think here? You like Cadillac Williams, who looks to be the starter with Steven Jackson supposedly out? He's going to be a game-time decision, but we're not hearing good things. If he's out, do you go Caddy over Starks? In a standard league, again, no PPR.
No, I go Starks. Starks, to me, just looks better. I know Caddy got a lot of work in last week, but I just don't know how he's going to hold up as a possible featured back this week against a pretty good Giants defense, even if they are banged up. So I'm going Starks on this one.
Yeah, and I agree. Absolutely, especially in a non-PPR. Starks is definitely the play here, no doubt about it. The boys has one in Standard League. He needs two. Roddy White. Ooh, don't like that matchup. Wallace, Steve Johnson, or Mario Manningham. Who do you want in the Standard League here? And he needs two of them.
I got to go Roddy and Wallace. I know Roddy is going up against a great secondary, but I just think he's such a top player that he could make a move against any secondary. So, and Wallace against Seattle, that's a no-brainer.
Wallace against Seattle is a no-brainer, except if they get up early and then decide to run all day long, which scares the bejesus out of me.
That is true.
A little bit.
which would suck for me.
You know,
but
I'm not saying it's absolutely going to happen, but it's definitely something that's got to be in the back of your mind a little bit with that. And, you know, it's a tough call, but you're right. It's hard to sit Roddy there. Wow. You know what? But
really
I would. In this case, he's got some good choices outside of Roddy, and I'm not a big believer in always start your studs. So I would go with Wallace and Stevie Johnson. I think they got a chance. Let's see. BC Lion says, Green and Bow in Black Book for Taz. He even likes Royal more than Bow. You're right, BC. Royal is 10 times the receiver Bow is. Take that to the bank. Let's see. Ryan Downey, he's still iffy on Simpson. You should be iffy on Simpson, Ryan. We're not telling you he's a dynamic start, but you didn't have a lot of freaking good choices there. So let's see. Again, if anybody wants to call in and has questions they want to get in on the air, call in 347-327-9748, and Bill and I will definitely answer your call. On the air live, you get to be on the radio. You'd be a celebrity in the neighborhood. You could tell everybody, I was on the radio just by calling. So let's keep going. PC Keen again, non-PPR. He's got Best, Forte, Benson, Chris Johnson, needs two. Who do you like out of those two, out of those four for two? You need Best, Forte, Benson, or Chris Johnson?
Wow, some good choices here. I like Forte for one with the reception. He could definitely get you some receiving yards. I know it's non-PPR, but he could still put up big points that way. And I'm still skeptical on Denver's run defense, so I can see Cedric Benson having a nice game this week as well. I know I'd pick those two over Chris Johnson, but like you said, sometimes you got to make those tough decisions, and those would probably be the two I'd go with here.
Yeah, especially since Chris Johnson definitely looked like a guy who had no preseason last week. You got to be a little concerned about him this week. And I do like – I like Forte a lot this week. Benson doesn't look like a bad play at all against Denver. Also like Best this week. That's the tough part for me. I think you got some good choices this week. What the heck was that? Okay, Detroit playing KC at home. You know, I'm going to go with Best. Wow, it's a tough one. Absolutely, though, but I'm going to go with Best and Forte, and everybody's going to tell me I'm crazy, but I'm going Best and Forte there. BC Lions wants to know what I think about Antonio Brown. Brown is going to be a good young receiver one day. Don't count on him yet. He's still fourth on the depth chart. He's not going to get a ton of work. PC Keen says Roethlisberger doesn't trust Brown. I totally disagree with that. But Brown is still fourth in the pecking order. Once he gets up a little higher than that, then we'll see. Henry Muto is telling us that White is ranked number four by FBG this week. Well, that's good for FBG. White is a great player. Let's not doubt it. But Atlanta's pass offense didn't get going last week, and they got a tough matchup this week. It's one of those things it's just hard to count on when they came out and looked so flat last week. The boys wants to know, Romo or Stafford? Who do you like there, Romo or Stafford?
As much as it's going to hurt me to say this because I have Matt Ryan, I'm going to go Matt Stafford because Eric Berry's out. That secondary is pretty depleted. I think Stafford has the opportunity for a huge game against Kansas City.
And I absolutely agree, Stafford. You're right. there's no doubt about it for me. I think Stafford goes out and has a great game here against the Kansas City team without Eric Berry. I think that's an excellent choice. So I agree with you there. Let's see. What else we got? Okay. Sorry, guys, just trying to catch up here. Vic or Stafford? The boys wants to know. Vic or Stafford? Well, I'm going Vic. I'm sorry. Stafford, I do think, is going to have a big game, but I think Vic is, you know, just with the chance of him scoring on the run, I just think you gotta play him if you got him. If you went out and drafted him, you got to start him. Mark in Michigan, Fred Jackson, Owen Daniels, Vernon Davis, PPR with 1.5 scoring for tight ends. He needs two. You know what? Again, we talked about Vernon Davis before. It scares me a little bit. I like Owen Daniels a lot this week. I would go Owen Daniels and Fred Jackson here. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I'm not sold on the Niners this week against Dallas. So Davis is a tough play for me, and I love Daniels' potential for a big game against Miami. So I got to go Daniels and Fred Jackson as well.
Okay, Ryan Downing wants to know, Simpson, oh, he keeps throwing this out there. Okay, we get this narrowed down for you eventually, Ryan. He wants to know, Simpson, Jekyll, Rogers, or Scott for Cincinnati in a flex deep league standard. He's throwing all these guys out there. Yeah, you know, Rogers got a little work last week. Scott didn't really get too much. You know, I can't like those guys that you're going to be not counting on to be on the field most often, then Simpson will be. So, again, I'm going to say Simpson. Okay, let's see. Tide wants to know what I'm doing with animals in the studio. Tide, I can't tell you that. This is a family show. PC Keaton is telling me bad research. I have no idea what you're talking about, PC. Please enlighten me as to what the research was. Yeah, Stafford over Mew. Okay, well, we're all caught up there. Nobody on the phone call. So let's go through some of these guys real quick until we get some more questions of guys that have we just got another question while I was going to talk about that. Shadow Funk, pick two. Shadow Funk, is that a PPR or non-PPR? You tell us that first, and then we'll get to that. But first, let's go back to players this week that are on the injury report. Sam Bradford is now probable, definitely play. Andy Dalton practiced Friday and Saturday. He will play. Running back, Noshon Moreno, it looks like maybe a game-time decision at best. Hasn't practiced all week. Most of the people locally are saying he doesn't look like he's going to go. McGahee will get the start there. Arian Foster has been limited in practice, but you would expect that. They're definitely expecting him to start, but they may limit his play count to, they're saying, like 20 for him and 10 for Tate. We'll see what happens. Tate, what the heck is that? What do you got over here, duck? Stop playing with your duck.
Text messages
should
come in.
That's not. Don't talk about your duck while we're. Don't play with your duck while we're talking. okay. Let's see. So both Foster and Tate will play. Derek Ward is actually out this week, so that makes it easier. One of those two guys. I'm still taking Foster over Tate. What about you? You think Tate ends up getting more touches than Foster this week? Would you play Tate over Foster this week?
Nah, I'd probably still go Foster. I think he's going to be the main guy, but I'm not going to be surprised if Tate gets a couple more carries than you know, they're expecting him to. But it seemed like Foster was the guy coming in, and I think they're going to try to push that. So,
wait, don't hesitate. It didn't seem Foster was the guy coming in. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was their guy. Tate ended up having a good game because Foster was out. And they liked Tate. They grabbed him in the second rounder last year. There was a lot of talk he'd be the starter last year, but Foster is their starter. The only reason they're going to limit him is because he is coming off the injury. They don't want to hurt him anymore. But I don't think you should start Tate over. Boy, you got to get that duck out of here. I don't think you should start Tate over Foster this week if you have to make that choice. Now, back to Shadow Funk.
I may have to get off and come back on so I can get the vibrate off.
Oh, is that what it is? Your phone on vibrate?
Nice. Well, I keep getting these messages. Like, I'm getting the Twitter messages coming in, so.
Well, why don't you, I don't know what to tell you. Okay, if you want to call off, turn your phone off and call back in. I'll answer some of these questions while you do that.
All right, sounds good.
Okay. Well, at least we narrowed down where the duck was coming from. Shadow Funk, okay, non-PPR, Matt Forte, Beanie Wells, Michael Bush, Michael Turner, or Cadillac Williams. The non-PPR definitely makes it tougher. Wow, Michael Bush will get his chances there. I'm still saying I'm going with that's a tough one. That is a tough one. I like that. Michael Turner, I'm not a big fan of Michael Turner, but I think he's got the best chance to score against a Philly defense that's not great against the run. So I'm going with Turner and Forte out of those guys. The other guys look like nice, attractive plays, and they probably will be, but I'm going to go with that. Okay. Ryan Downey wants to know, Tony Romo or Sam Bradford? Romo, easy. Bradford coming off the finger injury. He's playing. He's probable, but, you know, still concerned. I'm pretty sure the Giants are going to bring the house trying to get to him this week. Let's see. Okay, we keep going. We got that. Shadow Funk, pick two, Matt Forte. I just answered that. Okay, we don't have to answer that again. Let's see if we got him back on the line. Yes, we do. And Mr. Bill, are you back? Okay, no more
ducks. I apologize for that.
Okay, Tidewater is imparting wisdom to us by saying the male duck quacks violently when aroused, drawing in a mate. You know what scares me the most is that Tidewater knows that. Must be personal reasons there, but we won't get into that. The boys in a standard league, he needs two. McGahey, Blount, Wells, or Green? And I would imagine that's Sean Green. So who do you like there in a standard league? McGahey, Blount, Wells, or Green?
Got to go Blount and Wells on that. Like I said, Sean Green just scares me. He's going to get the axe very soon, I think. And I would absolutely take Blount and Wells over McGahey, so.
Absolutely agree. Blount and Wells for me as well. Okay. Okay, we're all caught up, so we're going to go back. Oh, wait, Tidewater wants to know, Freeman or Colt McCoy? Come on, Tide. Passing offense didn't really look that great last week. I definitely think really not much of a choice there. Robert Wright wants to know, Randy Moss or Terrell Owens? I'm taking Terrell Owens every day of the week, so forget that. I'm taking Terrell Owens. I don't know what you guys are even talking about. Okay. Let's see. We'll go back to some of these names that may or may not be playing. Darren McFadden practiced Friday and Saturday. Will definitely play. Steven Jackson still did not practice. It's going to be a game-time decision, but word is it's not looking good. Wide receiver, Harry Douglas, practiced, he will play. Roddy White, practiced, will play. Lee Evans, practiced, and will play. Steve Johnson, practiced, and will play. Roy Williams had a partial practice. He's still questionable. And at this point, why bother? Muhammad Massaquoi, practiced, and will play. Miles Austin had a partial practice, but is expected to play. Dez Bryant, no practice, looks like a game-time decision. Most people are saying he's not expected to go, but he did travel with the team, so there is always that last-minute chance that he comes in and plays. But you got to question yourself. If he didn't practice all week, if he wasn't able to get out there at all, even if he starts, how long can he go before something happens and he's not finishing? Very rough start, even if you want to go there. Brandon Lloyd had a partial practice. He's going to be questionable, but right now they're saying it looks like he's going to go. Watch the early morning news tomorrow to see what happens there. Calvin Johnson had a partial practice, definitely expected to play. Lance Moore, partially practiced. He is expected, as of now, to play. Hakeem Nicks is, you know, he limited practice basically all week. He swears he's going to be out there Monday night, but it's not his decision. The team has made that clear. It's going to be up to the doctors. If you're like me and you're going to take that chance and want to play Knicks, Just make sure you have another player you can use to swap into his spot if needed on Monday night so you don't take that zero. Plaxico Burress practiced Friday and Saturday, is definitely expected to play. Santonio Holmes may not be so lucky. Was very partial in practice. Looks to be a game-time decision. So definitely have to bump up Plaxico if Santonio Holmes is out. Derek Mason practiced fully and is expected to play. Jacoby Ford is out. Darius Haywood-Bey didn't practice and is very questionable. And you know what? Anything against Haywood-Bey, you got to push to the side at this point. I like the fact that he was actually involved last week. That was a good thing. Steve Smith from Philly practiced fully Friday and Saturday. Definitely expected to play. Hopes he gets involved a little bit more. Vincent Brown from San Diego practiced and will play. Sidney Rice is out. Danny Amendola is out. Damian Williams did not practice and is very questionable for this week. Tight ends, Jermichael Finley, partial practice again. Still expected to play, but has been gimpy. Mercedes Lewis had a partial practice, but is not expected to play. Rob Gronkowski had a partial practice, but is expected to play. Travis Beckham did not practice, doesn't look to be playing. Kevin Boss has had a partial practice, but they're saying it looks like he will play. Chris Cooley also with a partial practice, and it looks like he will play. So there's a quick rundown of all the injury guys for you guys. Hopefully it helped out some of you. So let's see. Any more questions in the chat room? Yeah, Shadow Funk wants to know, Beanie Wells or Peyton Hillis? Again, Shadow Funk, is that a PPR or not a PPR? You did not say. Guys, you got to give us some kind of scoring to go by. That's a big part of the question. If we don't know what kind of scoring it is, it can change the answer in a heartbeat. But until we know that, let's see. Beanie Wells or Peyton Hillis? Let's go with PPR. Which one do you play?
I'm Hillis all the way. Indy's run D is just bad. I think Hillis is going to have a big day next week. I think both formats I go Hillis.
And I was going to say the exact same thing. You stole my thunder. Where's that mute button again? Damn it. Okay. And then Sackett wants to know. He wants to know Aaron Hernandez or Jimmy Graham in a .5 PPR. So who do you like? You like Hernandez to have another great week? You like Jimmy Graham to come out and have a better week this week? Who do you like here?
I like Jimmy Graham. I've been on the Graham bandwagon all year so far. I think he keeps it up against Chicago. Breeze loves him, especially in the PPR. I'm going with Graham.
We know Brady loves Hernandez as well, but, you know, you definitely have that side-by-side, Gronkowski and Hernandez. There's going to be, you know, some down weeks for one of them. I think more down weeks for Hernandez than Gronkowski, because I still say Gronkowski is going to get more snaps each and every week than Hernandez, just because he's more all around tight end than Hernandez is. But I do. I like Jimmy Graham in this one at home. You know, New Orleans got to come out and make a statement here against a pretty tough Chicago defense. But I'm as tough as it is, and as much as San Diego usually doesn't do good against tight ends, I think Gronkowski has a great game. I'm not so sure on Hernandez again. I'm going Jimmy Graham. Let's see. BC Lions wants to know, Greg Salas and wide receiver in St. Louis, how do we like him now? I like him now as much as I liked him before. He's a good wide receiver, but he's still a rookie. He's in the slot. He just got put into the slot. We don't know how long it's going to take him to acclimate and how long it takes Bradford to feel comfortable going to him. But he is a good receiver. He's a damn good receiver in college. And, you know, if he can step into that role, it'll be interesting to see what happens when Amendola comes back. Bird, 33. Welcome, Bird. I didn't see you in the chat room before. And look at that, Mr. Brian Quinlan showed up. Hey, Brian, he's back from Mexico. Bird wants to know, should she go with Greg Olsen or Jermichael Finley in a PPR with 1.5 points? So who do you like more this week, Olsen or Finley?
Wow, I think both tight ends actually could have the potential for big games. I would probably go Finley, though. Finley's shown when he's healthy or, well, partially healthy as he is right now. He's not 100%, but he's close to it.
I don't think Rogers he's ever been 100%.
That's true. But Rogers shown he loves going to Finley. So, but I think Olsen could have a good game as well, but I'm going to go Finley on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go against you. I mean, absolutely, I think Finley, you know, when healthy, is the better tight end. But I think Cam Newton is going to need Olsen in this one a lot. I see Olsen getting a lot of early chances here in this one. I'm going to go with Olsen. I think that PPR, I think he has a chance to catch more passes. Let's see. Well, she wants to know, otherwise she could play a third wide receiver, Gibson, Knox, Collier, Austin. I do like Austin this week, but I wouldn't play him over Olsen in a 1.5 PPR. So I would go that way. And I really say Olsen because she's really a New England fan, and I don't want to say a New England player. So there. Shadow Funk wants to know, Breeze or Stafford in a standard scoring league? Who do you like there?
I got to go Breeze. As much as I like Stafford this week, I think Breeze is still able to put up the numbers. Got to go Breeze.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going Breeze, too, even against a tough defense. You know, just potential is there for Breeze every week to go nuts. Again, I like Stafford, though. It's definitely a lot closer than most people would make it out to be. Now, let's see. Duck wants to know, Olsen or Winslow this week? You know, I'm going to go with Winslow. I like Winslow going up against the Minnesota defense that looks to be without E.J. Henderson in the middle linebacker. They're going to move Henderson over to middle linebacker. I think that's going to open it up a little bit more. Aaron's not quite the cover linebacker that E.J. is, so I like that choice there. I'm going to go with him. Big Ben or Grossman this week from B.C. Lions. Who do you like there, Big Ben or Grossman?
This is another one that's a lot closer than people think, but I'm going to go Ben. I think they tried to jump on Seattle early, and they're angry after last week. They know they need this game, so I'm going Ben.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go against you here. I think Ben is going to come out and have a good game, and I you're right. I mean, it is Seattle, but then again, Washington is playing Arizona. the Arizona that gave up 422 yards to Cam Newton last week. The Arizona who couldn't stop anybody last week. I think Washington at home this week, I think Grossman is an excellent play. So I think with Ben, there's the chance that they get up so quick, so early, 21-0 or 24-3, that they just go right to the running game and he doesn't get a ton of chances in the second half. That's my concern. Let's see. We got the boys here. Has standard league needs three, one running back and two flex. Mark Ingram, Sean Green, Danny Woodhead, Massacoy, Emmanuel Sanders, and Lance Kendricks. Ouch. Wow. Okay. You know, Ingram didn't show me a ton last week, but I'm going Ingram as one. I'm going to go Woodhead as two. The one thing I liked last week was that Woodhead was getting all the work at the end when New England was up and not Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I thought it would be the other way. So I like that trend. So I would go Ingram there, Woodhead. Again, I just can't get into Sean Green, guys. He has to show me something before I go there. Wow, and then the third one is tough. Massacoy, Sanders, or Kendricks. At that point, I'm going to have to go Sanders. I think he has the best chance to get one of those touchdowns from Big Ben while they're going up. So I would go Ingram, Woodhead, and Sanders. How about you?
You pretty much took the words out of my mouth. Those are the three I'm probably going to go with as well.
Okay. Mark in Michigan wants to know, better dynasty stash in PPR, Salas, Julius Thomas, or Bilal Powell? Easy one for me. I like Salas and Thomas, but Bilal Powell is going to be the next starting running back for the Jets. I say pick him up. I think he's going to be great in that offense as soon as he pushes Sean Green out of the way. And Sean Green's doing a great job of doing it himself. We don't really need to cover that anymore. Ryan Downey wants to know potential trade. He has Sam Bradford and Devery Henderson. Other player wants to trade Grossman and Stevie Johnson for Bradford and Henderson. And he doesn't really have a wide receiver one. What do I think? At that point, if it's not a dynasty league, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I do it right now. Don't even think about it. Get Stevie Johnson. You're going to need him. If it is a dynasty, I'd rather have Bradford, and I say no. So there's your answers there. How about you?
Yeah, you put it pretty well. I love Stevie Johnson this year. He said he needs a wide receiver one, so I'd probably go get Steve Johnson as well.
Okay.
I think he's in for a good year.
Let's make these last ones quick because we got a minute before we bring the other guys on. Psycho Cat wants to know, half-point PPR. Damn, the scroller's a pain in the neck. Needs a flex. Malcolm Floyd or Devon Bess in a half-point PPR. Make it fast. Pick one.
Floyd.
Oh, wrong choice. Back. Devon Bess easily. They're going to throw a ton. Bess is going to get 6, 7, 8 catches in this one. I'm going Bess. Mark in Michigan, stacked at running back. Start AP, CJ, D-Mac, or Mendy. That wasn't really a question, Mark. Thanks for that, though. I think he was just bragging. Henry Muto, PPR, pick two running backs, Wells, Starks, and Ingram. I'm going to go with Wells and Starks. How about you?
Wells and Starks.
Okay. Jason Wright wants to know, Andre Johnson or Dane Sensabaugher in a PPR? And I had to ask the question just so I could say Dane Sensabaugher. I'm going Dane all the way. Okay, guys, we're going to have to get off the questions now. We're going to have to bring in our two other guests joining us. First and foremost, Mr. Brian Fontaine from Pro Football Focus. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Chad, long time no talk.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a while since you've been on the show, and that's great. If you want to follow Brian on Twitter and you're not doing it already, well, wow. But you can follow him on Twitter, at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, _ Fontaine, F-O-N-T-A-I-N-E. Definitely a great guy to follow. He's bringing out all kinds of great things from Pro Football Focus. Next up is Mr. Eric Dickens from Dynasty League Football, and you can follow him on Twitter, at DL Football. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you, Jim?
Hey, I'm doing great. We're talking football. It's Saturday night. There's nothing better for it. Well, okay, almost nothing better. But we got a lot of great stuff to cover tonight, so let's get into it. First question, as always, name two studs for week two. Brian, you get to go first.
All righty. Two studs this week. So week one's in the bank. It's the most important not to overreact to what we saw, but I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, but I think Rex Grossman is a great start this week. I feel dirty almost saying that right now, but he did really well against your Giants, Jim, and this week he gets the Arizona Cardinals, who certainly made Cam Newton look like an all-pro already in his first game, giving up 422 passing yards and 2 touchdowns and rushing touchdown. You know, he's not a punchline anymore. It's kind of funny because, you know, we're looking at the new reality of this NFL season, and you know, Rex Grossman could be a viable guy this year. So he's got some solid options with Antenna Mosh, Bar Gaffney, his ex-teammate from the University of Florida. Fred Davis came on in a big way last week, so I think he's worth a good start. If you're like me and you got a quarterback by committee of Eli Manning and Josh Freeman, maybe Rex Grossman's worth a pickup off waivers and actually could be a better start than both those guys. My second guy is James Starks. Wasn't the starter in week one against New Orleans. That was Ryan Grant, but at the end of the day, had the edge in terms of snaps. I had 47 to Ryan Grant's 17. 48 of his 57 rushing yards were after contact. He's just running through the trash. 41 of his yards came through the left guard and right guard gaps. So, I mean, he was right guard. What's that?
I use right guard.
Yeah. So Carolina, they gave up 90 yards to Beanie Wells last week and a touchdown. So I think Starks in this game, I think it's going to get at hand by halftime. I think he's going to be in for he could get 20 carries in this game, put up over 100 yards. You probably drafted him not to be one of your RB1 or RB2, but he's worth he might be a better option than some of the guys like a Jones Drew or Chris Johnson this week.
Ooh, like that call. Like that call a lot. Eric, how about you?
Well, he kind of stole a couple. I had three names written down. One was Starks, one was Grossman, and then I'll touch on the third, Brandon Pettigrew for me. Kansas City looked just totally lost without Eric Berry back there, and they lost him early in the game and let a guy like Chandler, kind of light him up on limited pass routes. And I think you're going to see a lot of passing from the Detroit Lions like normal. They're not one of those typical teams when they get the big lead that they pounded out on the ground. I think you're going to see a ton of passing you'll probably notice with a few of my other answers, I'm pretty high on several Lions this week. But I think Pettigrew is going to be a guy that could be top three to five tight end this week.
Ooh, Pettigrew up there high. I'm always leery about Stafford's like of Tony Scheffler. We saw Scheffler get a touchdown last week again. I don't know, for some reason he just has a thing for Scheffler, and that hurts me a little bit with Pettigrew, and scares me a little bit. How about you? And I'm on the paperwork that I send out every week for the questions for everybody to get ready. For some reason, I forgot to change Ralph from last week to Bill for this week. So every once in a while tonight, I may call him Ralph. Sorry about that, Bill. But Bill,
sorry.
You're up next.
You know, it's funny. The two guys I had are kind of paired off with who both Brian and Eric went. My first stud I went with was actually Santana Moss. Kind of like what Brian said, you know, he certainly likes Rex Grossman. And it seems like Rex's favorite receiver is Santana Moss. He could definitely pull, obviously not as much, but certainly a good game like how Steve Smith had last week. So Moss is definitely the first guy for me. And then kind of bouncing off what Eric said with Pettigrew, I just went with Matthew Stafford. Like I said earlier, Barry's out. It's all right there in front of Stafford this week. He's got a golden opportunity. I think he takes advantage of it.
Okay, fair enough. And that was two for you, right? Two guys? Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Moss and Stafford.
Right. Then I'm going to go here, and I'm going to start off with Cadillac Williams. I don't think Steven Jackson's going to play. It doesn't look like it. He still has a chance. He could be a game-time decision. We've seen him play through these injuries before, so that's always a concern. But if he doesn't go, I really like Cadillac Williams against my Giants. Giants just couldn't get anything going last week. I think they're going to have a hard time with Cadillac Williams as they try to use him a lot in the passing game against the Giants. So I would go Caddy number one. Number two, I'm going to go with Chad Henne again. You know, and not only because he threw for 400 yards against Brady, I think he's going to be thrown from behind again against Houston. And the thing that, you know, people aren't really taking into consideration with Henne is they really don't have a running game right now. Daniel Thomas may get some touches this week, but it's not going to be much. Reggie Bush isn't really a runner. He's more of a receiver out of the backfield. So all the yards are going to come from passing no matter what they do. They don't really have anybody who's shown any solid tendency to be able to run up the gut. Daniel Thomas definitely hasn't shown that yet. I'm pretty sure they're not going to go to Larry Johnson for much. So they're going to be a passing offense until they get a runner that can actually run. And until that happens, they're going to throw a ton. So I think Henny's going to be really throwing a bunch again. So I'm going to go with Henny there. I think he's going to have another excellent game against Houston. I'm not saying they win, but I think Henny's going to throw enough. And Robert Wright in the chat wants to know, Henny over Sanchez, Jim? Yes, this week, Henny over Sanchez. So let's go on to question number two. Two duds this week. No, wait. Wait, let's go back around the horn. Brian, any thoughts on anybody else's choice?
No, there's a lot of good picks. And like I said, too, it's only 1 week in the books. We can't really look at who's done what in week one and make a, you know, projection for the rest of the season. But
well,
that's
what we're paid to do.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm not paid to do this, but I do it anyway.
Well, that was kind of a rhetorical type of statement there.
No, I actually really do like the Henny. I like the Henny pick a lot. I actually, before the season, especially in the preseason, we saw them become a little pass heavy. I think he's actually going to be a guy that you can consider on a week-to-week basis this year, especially with a healthy Brandon Marshall and Reggie Bush as a check down option. So I like that call. I also like the Brandon Pettigrew call. Kansas City, although after it's only one game, I think they're in a world of hurt this year. I think they're probably going to end up playing in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. Eric Berry is like the heart and soul of that defense, and without him, the wheels could start coming off. So I like all the Lions this week. Burleson, Pettigrew, Scheffler, obviously Calvin. So good call there. And obviously, you know, Stafford, kind of tough to – I actually probably wouldn't have put Stafford in this category because I think he's already in that, you know, the must-start status. I mean, but, you know, obviously he's going to have a fantastic game here against the Chiefs.
Okay, how about you, Eric? Any thoughts on anybody else's choices?
I like the Santana-Moss call. I mean, along with, Brian mentioned Grossman. I had Grossman down on my list. He's got to throw somewhere. Santana-Moss, Jabbar Gaffney's one of those steady guys who's going to do his thing, get four catches every week, but he's not going to scare anybody. So Santana-Moss could very well play that Steve Smith role that we saw last week. Could hurt you deep, can hurt you across the middle. So I think that was a good call by Bill.
Okay, how about you, Bill?
Yeah, I think everyone made great picks as well. I definitely think your Henny pick is interesting as well. That's definitely good. You're definitely right. They are probably going to have to throw with Houston. Definitely going to put up points on that Miami D. So Miami's definitely going to have to throw it. So I definitely like the Henny call.
Okay, well, let's go on to question two then. Name two deep sleepers for week two. And, Eric, you get to go first.
All right, I went deep. I listened to the question. I'm going to go with Montario Hardesty. I think Hillis, obviously, is a must-start this week. A lot of people have him as one of their highest-ranked running backs, but you kind of see what the Colts defense had to do last week. Without Peyton, that team's just a totally different team. They can't control the ball, which means their defense is going to be on the field a ton, winded. I think you'll see the Browns try to spell Hillis, especially if that game gets out of hand early. They're wanting to keep Hillis fresh for the stretch of the season. So Hardesty is my first one on that list. My second one, and I heard you talk in the first hour a little bit. Excuse me. But Greg Salas, I think he has a chance to be just fit in right where Amendola left off in that offense. He's been used in the slot, even in camp. That's where they've had him working out of. He got all the second-team reps in camp out of the slot. I think he's made for that. Great hands across the middle. And I think he'll step right in, has a chance to make an impact right away.
Well, see, the only thing I have to say to that, first of all, most of the time when he gets those reps with the second team, it's not with the first-team quarterback. So that scares mm-hmm. me a little. The other thing is I could easily see both Salas and Kendricks hurting each other. Because they're both of quick, slot type receiver. Even though Kendricks is a tight end, they use him more as a slot type receiver out of the tight end set. So, to me, that I think the two of them may end up hurting each other, and that's what scares me a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like Salas. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I liked him coming out of college, and good slot guy. He's got great hands, not afraid to go over the middle. I'd just be a little leery with him starting the first game, that's all. So let's see. Bill, you're up next.
It seems like the theme for some of my guys are going to be like pairing with on the same team as these other guys. My first deep sleeper was actually Brandon Gibson. Obviously, it doesn't seem like Amendola is going to go. It looks like Gibson might get the most targets. It's obviously people may not hear of, but I think he may get the most looks. He's definitely a deep threat for that team. Obviously, the Giants' D is banged up. So my first guy would definitely be Gibson. And then second, I went with Emmanuel Sanders against Seattle. It's like what we did talk about before. You got to hope that the Steelers at least throw it the whole game. There's obviously the chance that they could throw it for, like, the first half and then just take the foot off the pedal. But, like I said, I went with Sanders only really because, obviously, Seattle. It's not a great team. Ben loves him, so those would be my two.
Okay. I'm going to jump in here next, and I'm going to start out with Jacoby Jones against Miami. Doesn't look like Kevin Walters is going to play this week. Jacoby Jones is going to step into that number two role. I like his chances to score a touchdown. I don't think he's, catches more than five or six balls, but I could easily see him going, five or six for 75 yards and a touchdown in this one. So I like him a lot. And then the next one is going to be Johnny Knox versus New Orleans. I think Chicago's going to have to throw in this one. It looks like Roy Williams is going to be out. Johnny Knox is going to step right into that position, and he's probably going to be facing the rookie Patrick Robinson, who pretty much got toasted last week. So I'm going to go with those two guys as my sleepers. I think both of those guys have a chance to put up real good games this week if you need them to, and you didn't pay a high price for them. So let's see. Who's up last? Brian's up last.
All right, I had three and only one taken, so that's not bad odds there. The only thing I'll add on Greg Sals, because he's one guy that I had down too. Of the 13 snaps he got in after Amendola went down, he was lined up in the slot for 11 of those. Targeted three times, so 27% of the time. He did have that one reception on three targets for 21 yards, and Spags already said it's his job to lose. And I just one other note I mentioned on Twitter earlier today, if you've got Hakeem Nicks and you're wondering if he's going to play or not, I think Sals makes a good pickup if you need to make a game-time switch out for if Nicks isn't going to give it a go. All right, my two sleepers, starting out, Isaac Redman is my first one. Looking at the snap data from last week, Mendenhall, 26 snaps. Redman was right there with 14. He was on pass protection for five of those plays. I think Pittsburgh's going to just absolutely obliterate Seattle in this one, and I'm looking for Redman to get a lot of carries in this one. He's great after yards after contact. I think he's got a chance to get a sneaky touchdown in this one. So in deeper leagues, or you're really hurting at the running back position, might be worth a shot there. My last one's going to be Greg Little, and this one he didn't really do too much in his debut, but he was on the field the most out of all the Cleveland wide receivers, 78% of the game. He had that one catch for 12 yards. But looking at where he lined up at running back once. He was in the slot 27 times, and then he was also at the X and the Z. So he's lining up all over the field, I think, against the Colts here. I think he could get a little bit more production. Might be a sneaky play.
Ooh, I like that call a lot. Nice throw out there. Okay, so that's it for that. Eric, any thoughts on anybody else's choices?
The one that jumped out to me was your call on Jacoby Jones. Did I say that right?
Jacoby, yes.
Jacoby, there we go. For a second, I couldn't think of the pronunciation. I like that call, especially this week. I mean, you saw what New England did in the game against Miami. I think you'll see Andre Johnson obviously be their first target there. If Foster's healthy, I'm sure they're going to want to run the ball as well. But I think he has a good chance this week to get that long touchdown that you look for out of a deep sleeper.
Okay. How about you, Bill? Any thoughts from anybody else's choice?
Yeah, I like the Jacoby Jones pick as well. You just have to hope that he actually comes out and does something. He's been one of those guys, obviously, it's been up and down. But without Walter, he definitely has a chance to do something big this week.
Well, then, you know, I think Owen Daniel's going to be a big beneficiary of no Walter, too. But Jones will definitely get his in a game. I think they'll be thrown enough to warrant it. They're not going to just put it on the back of the running backs and go with it, I don't think. Okay, so let's keep going. Next question, name two busts for the week. And Bill/Ralph, you get to go first.
All right, my first one is Maurice Jones-Drew against the Jets. Jason Hill looks like he may not go. Mercedes Lewis, who's probably the number one catching option on that team, may not play. So I think it's going to be a real tough go for MJD this week. And my second, he's kind of close to a stud. I got to go. I went with D'Angelo Williams against the Packers. Otah may not play. Green Bay is pretty darn tough to run against. And Carolina's just really been struggling trying to get anything running the ball lately. So, Willie for me.
And actually, both of those guys were on my list, so thank you for that. But I always come prepared. I bring a long list always. been doing this too long to get caught short, so I always have enough here. I'm going to go first with Chris Johnson. We saw last week he definitely looked rusty. No doubt about it. And this week he's going against Baltimore. You know, I'm just not liking that matchup until Chris Johnson shows he's back, and he's not back yet. So I'm going to say I like him as my first dud. My second one is going to be Willis McGahee versus Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati's defense is not that great. I understand Ray Maliuga in the middle, though, is a little better this time around, so I like that fact. But I'm just not sold on McGahee. I don't think he can be an every-down back. He hasn't been in a long time. He averaged less than 3.5 yards a carry last year when he got the chance to run. He hasn't been fully healthy all preseason, so I'm just not loving that for him. I think we're going to see a lot of mix there, and not just McGahee. We may even see some Lance Ball and some Jeremiah Johnson, a Cecil Lammy favorite, Jeremiah Johnson. So they could definitely surprise. So I know a lot of people out there are banking on McGahee because he looks like he's going to get the start, but I don't like him at all. I say stay away. Let's see. Who's up next? Brian, you're up next.
All right, I also tried to come up with a few of them here. I had MVD and Chris Johnson, only because they're both playing tough defenses. First one, Reggie Wayne. I don't think he's going to get it done against Cleveland this week. I had in my notes before the show that he'd be shadowed by Joe Hayden. A little did I know that Hayden's left cornerback and Wayne plays on the left side, so it's actually going to be Sheldon Brown, who's no slouch himself. And Wayne got a lot of his production last week in garbage time. Kerry Collins just was on his heels the entire game if he wasn't already on the turf. I'm not liking it. Both Brown or Hayden are going to probably shut down Wayne. Dallas Clark's staying into block, and he's turning into a matador, just letting people run by him. I'm just not liking the Colts at all going for the rest of the season. So hopefully you're able to sell high on Wayne after last week. My next one, and only because I just had to come up with this on the fly because you guys told me on the running backs, I'm not liking LeGarrette Blount this week at Minnesota. Inexcusable, he only had 13 snaps last week. And, you know, everybody was projecting him to be that breakout candidate this year based on what he did last year. If you're only going to get on the field for 13 snaps and rush the ball five times, something's not right there. And you're getting outplayed by Ernest Graham. Blount's not that great in pass protection. So maybe last year was a little bit of a, you know, one-year wonder. So hopefully he can prove me wrong, but I'm not trusting this guy until I see it on the field. And Minnesota could be a little, you know, could be tough for Tampa Bay on the road. I think Josh Freeman's going to be throwing a little bit more than that. So those are what I got.
Okay, let's see. Eric, you're up next.
I got to go with Jarius Norwood. No, I'm just kidding, guys. That's about how far down on my list I got, though. I had MJD, Chris Johnson as well. The third one, and I'm not sure he fits into the stud category, but a guy that a lot of people are either counting on or hoping for is Mark Ingram. It's not that I don't like Ingram. I don't think we can judge him after 1 week, but facing a really tough Bears defense, couple that with the fact that you're going to see some Sproles, you're going to see some Pierre Thomas, who looked really good when he did get a chance to carry the ball last week, and I just wouldn't be someone that's starting Ingram this week, even as a running back, too. And then kind of just I know you're probably getting to this, Jim, but two that you guys mentioned that I'm kind of the opposite end of the spectrum on, I think McGahee actually is a great start this week to me. So I'll kind of disagree with that piece. And then I'm not sold that LeGarrette Blount's bad week one was anything other than them getting behind early. And then poor game planning.
Well, I agree on the poor game planning. I just think it was ridiculous that he got such a low snap count. They never got that far down where they couldn't have reestablished the run and gotten themselves back in the game. To me, that was just poor management all the way. As far as McGahee, well, that's why we do this roundtable, so people can have different opinions and everybody can hear everybody's opinion and then realize that I'm right, and that's why we do it. So good. So let's keep going. Wait, let's go back around. Bill, any thoughts on anybody else's choices?
You know, McGahee really is a guy that I'm really going back and forth on. I just plugged him into my starting lineup the other day, and I'm still kind of, should I, shouldn't I, nah. But,
well, let me ask you a question. Actually, I'll ask Eric the question since he's the one who's so high on McGahee. Eric, how many touches do you think McGahee actually gets in this one?
I think touches, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25.
Wow, I can't see him going 25. I just can't see that. When was the last time he got 25 touches in a game? It's got to be a while ago.
Well, off the top of my head, yeah, it's probably been a long time, but that isn't necessarily because of talent. He's been playing behind a guy like Ray Rice for a while now. I think he'll be used quite a bit out of the backfield. Lance Ball, Jeremiah Johnson, who they just called up from the practice squad, aren't great options there. If they're going to be passing, McGahee's a serviceable passing pass blocker. He's decent with his hands. I think he'll catch five balls and get another 15 or so touches on the ground.
We are definitely going to have to revisit this one at another time, but I'm just not buying on McGahee yet. He hasn't shown me anything that makes me think he could be an every down back in this league. And I know some people out there projecting that he steals the job from Noshon. I think if anybody steals his job from anybody, it's going to be Jeremiah Johnson. I think he's possibly the best running back on the damn team, to be honest. Noshon is good, but he just can't stay healthy. You can't count on him. So to me, that makes it a little interesting. So let's keep going. We're 25 minutes in, and of course you're listening to the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable. I am your host, Jim Day, a.k.a. The Fantasy Taz. Joining us tonight are Brian Fontaine from ProFootballFocus.com, Eric Dickens from DynastyLeagueFootball.com, and Bill Rossetti from FantasyCorral.blogspot.com, his own blog. So we'll keep going. The next question is, what was the biggest surprise for week one? And you know, I talked about this a little bit in the first hour, and I'm going to talk about it again. Biggest surprise had to be Cam Newton. I'm sorry, there's just no other way to put it. There were a lot of surprises in week one, but for me, nowhere near as close as Cam Newton was. I didn't see it coming, didn't expect it in any way, shape, or form, anywhere close to that. I don't care how bad Arizona's defense was. I just did not expect him to come out and put up 422 yards on the ground and count for three touchdowns in his first game as a pro. So that was absolutely my biggest surprise. Brian, how about you?
Yeah, I thought you might actually take Newton. I had that down as well. Just a couple quick takes on him. I think some of his receivers are just so wide open. I just don't think Arizona has any speed in the secondary, and Adrian Wilson just isn't himself, but I was color me impressed. I wouldn't call myself a Cam Newton hater, but he definitely fought more than I thought he could do in his first start. But my other biggest surprise was, you mentioned him as one of your sleepers, Jim, is Chad Henne. The guy has a reputation of being a little robotic. I think that's even his nickname from a lot of Dolphins fans on Twitter, and he showed some fire. You know, he ran in that touchdown, you know, spiked the ball. He seemed to be throwing pretty well. For, you know, a lot of people had written him off, you know, figuring Kyle Orton was going to be coming to town. And I give the guy a lot of credit. He stood in there. He hung tough. You know, obviously they were getting blown out in that game, but he came through for his fantasy owners. And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that does all it does matter. But I have to ask this. How many fantasy teams in the world do you think had Cam Newton starting for them week one last week?
You know, other than, you know, his dad, Cecil, I don't know.
Yeah, really, that's true. Might be the only one. good point. So let's keep going. Let's see. Eric, you're up next. What was the biggest surprise for you?
Other than Cam, obviously, that you guys have touched on, a couple of
that's
teams
why I like
as biggest.
I made that question so I was first. So I would get Cam.
That's right. You're always right. two teams kind of jumped out at me that I'd like to see more of, to see which team they really are. The Buffalo Bills, I know we've talked about the Chiefs and could be a factor of them making the Bills look better than they are, but they really did look much better than they were looking toward the end of last year. Then the other direction, the Steelers. Obviously, the Ravens are a really good team. You can't read too much into it. I think the Steelers bounced back this week, but pretty big surprise that they got beat like that. Haven't seen that in a while.
Okay. Not a bad choice as well. Bill, you're up next.
Well, I knew someone was going to say Cam Newton, and then Brian then took my second choice of Chad Henne. I mean, the guy was basically going to get thrown out of Miami, and he throws for 400 yards, so that was surprising. And then Eric took my next choice of Buffalo, so thanks, gentlemen. Then I went down, and I thought the Bears against the Falcons, and I guess more specifically Jay Cutler. I mean, we all saw at the end of last season he got hurt in the championship game. Everyone's questioning his toughness. Everyone's like, you know, can he count? Can he come back? Can he bounce back? And he does a nice job spreading the ball around. Yeah, he did get sacked 4 times, but obviously that's not his fault. It's just because he has a terrible offensive line. But, I mean, just the Bears in general against the Falcons, I mean, it was 30-6 at one point. No one saw that coming. I know I sure didn't see that coming. I thought it would be a much closer game. I thought Atlanta would put up a much better fight, but Chicago really surprised me.
Well, and I'll tell you the one that nobody mentioned. Baltimore just coming out and spanking Pittsburgh, forcing 7 turnovers in a game. Pittsburgh hasn't done that in forever. I mean, to me, that was just another huge surprise game from week one, no doubt about it. But as always,
also,
every year there's a lot of great surprises in week one, and there's a lot of people that overreact to them.
And can we also add in the 2-point conversion that Baltimore ran in?
Oh, yeah. The Pittsburgh's going to remember that one the next time they play.
They're going to be so angry at that.
Yeah.
When do they play again?
Week
9,
Pittsburgh,
I think?
Even tries an extra point next time.
I think they play, week 9 again?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have it up in front of me. But
I think it's week 9.
Oh,
Pittsburgh's going to be angry.
So let's keep going. Next question. Give one bold fantasy prediction for week 2, and Brian, you go first.
Oh, do I? All right.
Yes,
I
do. It's on the list.
Yeah, all right. I'm reading that now. This will probably come to no surprise to everybody that reads my stuff. But my bold prediction for this week, I'm saying Ryan Matthews gets 120 total yards and a touchdown against New England.
You are in love with Ryan Matthews. I've never seen as big a man crush since my Dane Sansabaker days.
What's going on, isn't it?
This flies straight up in the face of San Diego coaches who just came out this week and said, well, you know what, Tolbert is going to get the bulk of the work. He's just a better runner. Mr. Brian Fontaine from Pro Football Focus is telling those coaches they're idiots because Ryan Matthews should be on the field all the time.
Well, here's why. I do have a little bit of data to back this up. Yeah, they say that Tolbert is a much better pass blocker. I don't buy it. He was only on 8 more pass blocking plays than Matthews last week. I watched Tolbert pretty in the preseason against Dallas. He basically just kept letting the guys run past him. So I don't know what they're saying this guy is so much better pass blocker than Matthews. And Matthews is definitely improving. And he was on 8 more passing plays than Matthews. So this is a pure split. I don't think Tolbert's going to dominate the playing time. And if you saw Matthews in the open field last week, he's only going to need a couple touches to get on the open field. And, you know, New England can get some big plays on him. So I'm looking for a long touchdown here for Matthews to get that, but that's my bold prediction. I don't think it's going to get any bolder.
Well, there you go. You just answered Sackett's question. He wanted to know if he should start Matthews, Ingram, or D'Angelo as his running back, too. Obviously, you're going Matthews.
I would.
Okay. You heard it from Brian Fontaine himself, the man who sold everything in every league he's in to get Ryan Matthews this year. I personally watched him. Eric, how about you? What's your bold prediction?
Hey, before I get to mine, I will have to say I'm on board with Ryan Matthews being the better running back in San Diego long term. However, I don't know that we'll see that this week, although you did ask for a bold prediction, so I'll applaud Ryan for that one.
well, they gotta be
week,
somewhat, you know, close to being relevant.
Very
I'm not
true.
Saying Brian's wasn't. I'm not saying that
right.
at all.
Right.
Really, I didn't say that.
I
might be thinking
week,
it, but I didn't say it.
My pick this week, you can tell kind of from what I've already said, I'm going all in on the Lions. I think this could be the week we see Javid Best show us what he's got, both on the ground and in the air. I don't really have any numbers or anything that he's already done to prove that. All I'm doing is looking at kind of how the matchup goes. They are going to be passing a ton, so he's going to be used in the passing game, but he should get those touches on the ground as well.
Well, it's a bold prediction. Bill, you're up next. How about you?
Well, first off of what Brian said about Matthews, I remember, Jim, when you were on one of my shows and we were kind of bashing one of Brian's draft master picks when he took Ryan Matthews. So I
think he took him at, what, 102 or 103, something like that?
No, it wasn't that. It was like 2-9, I think. It was like late second round, I think, and you were like, oh, that's too early. And I was like, yeah. as much as I want to say Peyton Hillis rushes for 3 touchdowns against the Colts since he's my number one running back in my money league, that's maybe kind of too easy. So actually I'm going to go back to McGahee. I said I was like, you know, back and forth, but back early when I was thinking about this, I was like, you know what, let's go. Willis McGahee rushes for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns tomorrow.
100 yards and 2 touchdowns tomorrow? Really? Is that what you just said? Really?
That's really what I just said.
Really? We're going to have to do a points bet on that over a go-ahead score.
Okay. Let's do
it. Put
it
up dude. I'll take it in a heartbeat. I don't see that happening.
Let's go.
Boy.
Let's set it up right now after the show.
Well, go ahead. Go right for it. Go set it up.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I'm going to go out there with my bold fantasy prediction for week 2. I'm going to say that Cadillac Williams is going to be a top 10 runner this week. There you have it. I'm going out there. I'm thinking Caddy is just going to shred the Giants from start to finish. Giants just aren't going to be able to get after him. They're going to use him a lot in the short passing game in this one, and I think Caddy's going to have a great game against the Giants. So we shall see. We got to keep going, though. Real fast, we'll go through the last one. Just real fast, which game do you think? Actually, I'm going to scrap number 6. I'm going to change it just to keep you guys on your toes a little bit. I want one survivor pick from each of you for a game this week. Who's your survivor pick of the week this week? Let's see. Eric, I'll start with you.
For me, that'd be Cleveland or Detroit. I'll go with Detroit this week if you haven't already used them.
Okay, how about you, Bill?
Buffalo over Oakland. Campbell's too inconsistent for me. It looks like 2 of his top receivers are going to be out. Oakland has to go cross-country. I would go Buffalo.
Ooh, okay. Then for me, I'm going to go with Denver. Denver going against Cincinnati. I'm going to take Denver. I know it's a risky pick, but it might be the only time of the year you can take Denver. I liked them this week at home against Cincinnati. Not sure why. I just said their running back sucks, but I do. I still think they're going to come out on top of this one with a win. I think Gordon's going to come up big in this game, so I'm going to go with Denver. How about you, Brian?
I would go with – let's go with the Redskins this one. I talked about Rex Grossman at the top of the show. I think Arizona doesn't travel well to the East Coast. I'll go with Redskins.
Okay. Redskins is a nice choice. I like it. BC Lions is telling me I'm out already. That's right. Last week I chose Atlanta. I know. That's why with survivor picks, you should always take the opposite of what I say. I said that last year, all year long. People, if you weren't listening, then you didn't win. We're going to go to on the spot now, everybody's favorite. I'm going to give you guys 2 players. You're going to tell me who you would draft, who you would pick and why this week. PPR scoring. Brian, first one. Cam Newton or Kyle Orton?
That's a tough one. I think I would probably actually go with Kyle Orton in this one. It's just I got a lot of respect for the Green Bay pass defense. I think they're going to confuse Cam Newton. I think it's going to be night and day between week 1 and week 2 for the rookie. And Kyle Orton, he doesn't get a lot of respect, but even without – if Brandon Lloyd doesn't go, I think Eric Decker can step up, and he'll do just a little bit more than Newton. So I'd go with that. I'd go that way.
Okay. So let's see. Who's up next? Eric, Jay Cutler versus at New Orleans or Sam Bradford at the Giants?
Ooh, tough one. I don't think any question should be answered with the words Jay Cutler. But, however, I am going to have to go that direction this week. I think that, as you saw in last week's Thursday night game, New Orleans does have some issues there on the defensive side of the ball. Granted, they were playing the Packers, but I think you'll see Cutler throw a lot. I actually think it should be a fairly high-scoring game, so I think you'll see some running and throwing, but I'm going to go with him this week, even though I fully expect him to throw a couple picks.
Ooh, tough one. Okay, Bill, for you, Rex Grossman versus Arizona or Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Oakland?
Ooh, that's
now,
a good
wait,
one.
Now, before we even get into that, how crazy is that, that that's a viable fantasy question week two? That's crazy. That's just crazy.
I'm going with Fitzpatrick. Oakland's pass defense is a little suspect. I think Fitzpatrick will definitely throw it. Just slightly, though, I think I'm going to take Fitzpatrick over Rex Grossman. Who would have thought I'd say slightly? I'll take Fitzy over Grossman.
Sexy Rexy, getting it done, at least week one. Brian, you got one for me?
I do find my sheet here. All right, I'll go with the quarterback here. All right, Taz, Josh Freeman at Minnesota or Eli Manning versus St. Louis?
Holy crap, that's the next one I had for you. Exactly the next one I had for you. Yeah, I think both of these guys are going to have good games. And, you know, I'm going to lean Freeman. Eli just still hasn't gotten it together, but it's close. It's very close. I like both of these guys this week to have a good game. I think I have them, like, one separated apart in my rankings for the week. So, definitely close.
Yeah, I got the slight edge to Freeman myself, so.
Yeah. Eric, how about you? You got one for me?
I sure do. I got Mike Wallace versus the Seahawks or Vincent Jackson versus the Patriots.
Man, they just didn't look Vincent Jackson's way last week at all. That just scared me. I'm going to go Mike Wallace. You know, I think they're going to need Vince Jackson. I think San Diego's going to have to throw in this one. And that gives them definitely a little bit there. But I also think Mike Wallace and Pittsburgh, they're going to come out. Big Ben's going to stay something early and go up quick. So I look for Wallace to be, you know, the guy who gets his shot there. But that's a close one. I like that one. Definitely probably one of those decisions where you go back and forth a few times before you make your final decision. Mm-hmm. Bill, you got one for me?
I sure do. Let's go with... Oh, this is a good one for you. Eli Manning or Jay Cutler?
No, I'm going Eli Manning. I think he's going to have a much better game than Jay Cutler this week, personally. And I'm not a big Eli Manning fan, but I think they're going to get their offense going this week against St. Louis. Okay, back to you, Brian. Josh Freeman at Minnesota or Eli Manning versus St. Louis? Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, I'm on another one.
Matt Ryan versus Philly or Joe Flacco at Tennessee?
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't know. I'm not really on the Matt Ryan bandwagon this year. I know a lot of people were high on him, and I for one, was absolutely disappointed that he couldn't get the passing game going with Roddy White, with Julio Jones. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Flacco this week, and I think Lee Evans, he played last week. It looks like he's going to give it a go this week. One of these weeks here, he's going to get a deep touchdown over 50 yards. I think it's going to happen this week. Tennessee's a little suspect in defense, and I think the Eagles are going to present a bigger problem for Ryan, so I'll go Flacco.
Yeah, it's tough that we're making that decision, but I agree with you. I mean, the way Ryan just came out and looked flat as heck last week, and now he's going against probably the best cornerback tandem in the league. So, yeah, that's going to be a tough one. Eric, for you, I got Mark Sanchez versus Jacksonville or Chad Henne versus Houston.
Oh, that's an easy one. I'll go Henne. You could have thrown
well,
my college quarterback there.
Yeah, I already
done talked
him up so much. it looked better when I was writing it down earlier.
Yeah.
Bill, for you, Kevin Cobb at Washington or Colt McCoy at Indy?
I'm going to go with Kevin Cobb on this one against that Washington defense. Cleveland, I think, will probably run the ball a lot more. They'll probably try to do what Houston did last week. So McCoy may not get as many opportunities, I would think, so... I'm going to go with Cobb in this one.
Now, that Indy defense, I think this one's a lot closer than people are making it out to be. I might even lean towards McCoy with the Indy defense just looking like crap. They're out. Their middle linebacker bracket looks to be out. Cavill Connor is hurt in a big time. Their linebacking core is in disarray at this point. I think Colt McCoy is going to have his chance to get that ball out of his hands and get it into those receivers a lot this week. Washington defense looked pretty damn good against the Giants last week. Be interesting to see. Okay, Brian, you got another one for me?
Yeah, I probably after hearing you talk about this earlier, I know how you're going to answer this one, but Willis McGahee versus Cincinnati or Mark Ingram versus Chicago?
It's still a tough one. Mark Ingram's sharing with two other guys scares the bejesus out of me. But I'm going Mark Ingram. I just think he's a better running back, and eventually we'll see that. The offensive line for the Saints didn't do a great job last week, but I think they'll do a little bit better this week. So it's definitely tough, but I just don't like McGahee. Besides, I got to keep saying that because Eric thinks I'm wrong. Eric, you got another one for me?
Yeah, I got a friend on Twitter that wants me to throw one up there, so it's a good one. Kenny Britt versus Baltimore or Wes Welker, Wes Welker versus the Chargers.
We're talking PPR. I'm going Wes Welker. Kenny Britt's got a tough matchup. Welker's got a tough matchup, but I think Welker's still going to be that high-flying guy who's going to catch 7-8 balls each and every week. So I'm going to go with Welker. But it's definitely a close one. It's Britt's got that explosiveness, but I just don't know if I trust Hasselbeck this week. I think they're just going to be all over him, and I'm not the hugest of Hasselbeck fans anyway. So I'm going to go with Welker. How about you, Bill? You got another one for me?
I sure do. Let's go with Jordy Nelson at Carolina or Jacoby Jones at Miami.
That's a good one. Jordy Nelson came out, had a good week one. Everybody's anointing him that number two already after that one week. Jacoby Jones is the number two, but I think he's actually going to be more like a number three with Daniels being a number two. So I think it's going to come down to who's going to throw more. You know what? I'm going to go with Nelson. It's going to be tough, but I'm going to go with Nelson. But it's not an easy one. I would go with Nelson, though, I think. I've just never been a huge fan of Jacoby Jones. I just think he's got a good chance to be productive this week. But I like Nelson a little bit more. But tough question. I like it. Brian, I got another one for you then. Ryan Grant at Carolina or Jonathan Stewart versus Green Bay?
Oh, boy. I talked about at the top of the show, I thought Starks is going to be the better running back going forward. Ryan Grant looked like he was running in quicksand. I don't know if he's just lost it or if it was just shaking off the rust. Jonathan Stewart looked like the better back last week over D'Angelo. You know what? Damn, that's a tough one. I'll probably actually go. I think I'll go with John Stewart. I think in that one, I think he might be able to get a short touchdown. Seemed like he was a little bit more involved in the passing attack, and we might not be able to assume that just because D'Angelo got that huge contract that he's going to get all the carries. So I'll go that way.
Okay, I would go that way just because he's the better runner.
Too.
They're both just in bad situations at the moment. Eric, for you, I got Ernest Graham at Minnesota or Pierre Thomas versus Chicago?
I'll go with Pierre Thomas. I think Graham is not going to have a big impact on the offensive touches other than pass blocking and the occasional catch. I don't think he's going to get the ball much in running situations. I don't think they're even going to look to him as a primary target in the passing game. So it's more of a pick against Ernest Graham than anything. But I thought Pierre Thomas looked great last week. I'll give a little shout-out to Pro Football Focus and their premium stats. But Pierre Thomas had quite a few broken tackles. His elusiveness rating looks pretty good, leaving right where he left off when healthy last year.
When healthy is always the big term there. Bill, for you, I got Willis McGahee versus Cincinnati or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis versus San Diego?
I'm going McGahey on this one. I have not really been that big a fan of really any of the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I really haven't been that big a fan of any of the New England backs just because I feel there's, like, so many of them that it could really change week by week. So, and I guess after that bold prediction I just made, I guess I got to back up McGahey, don't I?
Okay, Brian. Brandon Jacobs versus St. Louis or Sean Green versus Jacksonville?
You know what? I think I'll actually go with Green in this one. I think Jacksonville isn't going to travel well. Actually, yeah, no, they're going to the Jets. I just think this game's going to be over before it starts. And even though I'm not a huge Green fan, I just think that they'll let him run early. I'm still waiting for Bilal Powell to get his chance to share because just Green doesn't look like he's got it. But in a one, you know, in a 1 week option, I'll go Green.
Well, I can't go with Green with anything, especially when they pull him out and put in LT. I go Jacobs. I know Jacobs didn't do much last week either, but Giants just never tried to get that run game going, which really just amazed the hell out of me. Oh, and there's Florida State with a score about to tie this game up. Oh, there you go. Okay, so got people sending me private messages all over with questions. Guys, can't answer them during this part of the show. You had to get them in the first hour. Okay, who's up? Let's see, we just did Graham, we just did that. So, Brian, we just did you, right? Okay, Eric, I got Joseph Addai versus Cleveland or LeGarrette Blount at Minnesota?
I'll take Blount. You know, I know that. What'd you say?
I thought you might go that way after our talk earlier.
Yeah, I just think that 1 week is too quick to jump on him and say that he's not going to produce like he did last year. Now, long term, if you're asking me from a dynasty standpoint, I might have a different answer, but for a 1 week, that's the way I'd lean.
Okay, but I'm going to turn this around and ask the guy who said what he did about Blount earlier. Brian, Joseph Addai or LeGarrette Blount this week?
Oh, Addai, easy. I think he's underrated. He did well in a limited role last week. Still, he almost had 5 yards of carry. Was breaking tackles, didn't get an opportunity to get going. I go with say.
I thought you'd say that. But, oh, sorry. Bill, for you, we got Jahvid Best versus Kansas City or Reggie Bush versus Houston?
Jahvid Best. Miami doesn't seem like they have too much of a running game at this point. I mean, Bush did look good, but I think they're going to try to get Daniel Thomas in, and Henny's probably going to have to really throw it this week again. So, and I'm all in on Detroit this week, as I've said before, so I'm going Best.
Yeah, I would go Best too, but I do think that Bush is going to have a decent game. I like Bush. I always like Bush. You know, he's looking good. As long as he's healthy and on the field, you got to like Bush. So, tough choice. Back to you, Brian. Let's see. Maurice Jones-Drew at the Jets or Cedric Benson at Denver?
Oh, I really hate Cedric Benson. I have never really been a fan. I think this is probably the first show. I'm going to mention him now. I think it's probably the first show I've done in years that I haven't actually said how much I dislike Benson. But I'll actually go Jones-Drew on this one. He's got a tough matchup, but he is going to be the Jets' offense. I mean, not the Jets. Look at the wrong thing. He's going to be the Jaguars' main option. I think he's going to get most of his points and on checkdowns in PPR leagues. I don't think he's going to be able to get too many long runs going. But Benson, I think his stats were inflated last week with that long touchdown in the fourth quarter. I'm just not buying it. Denver's not that bad against the run. They're improving. I'll go with MJD.
Yeah, but they have no DJ Williams yet. He's still out. That hurts them. MJD just scares the bejesus out of me. After last week, he didn't look that good. They definitely made an obvious choice to get the ball in Desi Green's hands a little bit more than I thought they would. So that bothers me a little bit with MJD. I think this is a lot closer than people expect.
Well, the most important thing about this one, MJD worries me less than Benson does. So there you go.
Okay, fair enough. Eric, let's see. Ahmed Bradshaw versus St. Louis or Cadillac Williams versus the Giants?
I'll go with Bradshaw. I watched
Didn't you hear
a lot
my
of,
bold prediction earlier?
I did.
I didn't say Ahmad Bradshaw would be a top 10 running back.
I hear you. I'm not convinced that the Cadillac Williams can do that against a better run defense. Last week, I watched a lot of that Eagles game, and the Eagles' run defense is just horrendous if you can get past the D-line. I don't think the Giants have a great run defense, but I think they'll be able to stop Cadillac Williams.
Well, I don't think Cadillac's going to do a lot of his damage as a runner. I think he's going to do it as a pass receiver. When those short passes, get him
sure.
past that defensive line and get him into those linebackers, and I think he's going to be deadly against those linebackers. I like Greg Jones in college, and I like that they grabbed him when he came out, but I don't think he's ready to be a starting middle linebacker in this league just yet, and I think we're going to see that this week, Caddy going off against them. Again, not just a straight runner. I think it's going to be the pass catches that puts him over the top. Bill, for you, I have Austin Collie versus Cleveland or Percy Harvin versus Tampa Bay.
Well, first I want to say, as a diehard Eagle fan, Eric, you hit it right on the nose by saying the Eagles' run D is horrible. That's 100% true. I got to go Collie. I believe he had a red zone target last week. So even with Collins in there, it still looks like Collie's going to get trusted to make some catches. McNabb obviously looked very sluggish last week. So Harvin's kind of iffy this week. So I would go Collie.
Okay. Brian, for you, I have Earl Bennett at New Orleans or Emmanuel Sanders versus Seattle.
You know what? I actually, long-term dynasty-wise, prefer Antonio Brown to Emmanuel Sanders, but I like Sanders this week, especially if Pittsburgh gets up big and they rest Ward, don't give him as many snaps. I think he's got a better bet. Bennett doesn't really – if he was going to do a lot, he probably would have done something last week. I'm just not buying it. You know, he's the slot. It looks like Johnny Knox is coming on a little bit stronger. So I'll give the edge to Sanders.
Ooh, that's a tough one, but I agree with you. I think Sanders just has a better chance to score, too. Eric, for you, Brandon Gibson at the Giants or Mike Sims-Walker at the Giants?
I'll go Brandon Gibson. I've been burned by Mike Sims-Walker too many times.
To be a general consensus on Mike Sims-Walker.
You know, there could be any given game where he's a top five receiver in the NFL. The problem is that's only going to happen two or three times per year, and you never know when. I just feel like he's not very consistent. I really like what I've seen so far out of Gibson. They obviously trust him. They loved him in camp. He's their number one receiver right now. So I'll go with Gibson.
Okay. The reason I asked that question is because I saw a lot of people tweeting about Mike Sims-Walker this week and how much they like him and really push him up, and I just don't see it because I'm with you. He's burned me too often in the past for me to really want to give him a shot. Bill, I got another one for you. We're almost out of time. Wow, crap. Just realized that. Kenny Britt versus Baltimore or Mike Williams Tampa Bay at Minnesota? No, I'm not giving you that one because you already professed your love to Mike Williams. I'll give you another one. Anquan Boldin at Tennessee or Steve Johnson versus Oakland?
Steve Johnson. Buffalo, I think, can easily throw on Oakland this week. And Johnson, obviously, is the guy that Fitzpatrick trusts, so I'll go Stevie Johnson, although it's pretty close, which is how it should be.
Boldin ended up having a good week last week. It surprised me. First time I really saw Flacco being comfortable with him. So it'd be interesting to see if that continues. Okay, we got one more quick round. Let's see. Brian, for you, I got Robert Meacham versus Chicago or Lance Moore versus Chicago?
If I knew Moore was going to play and be completely healthy, I would say Moore, but I have to go with Meacham in this one.
Okay, Eric, for you, I got Kenny Britt versus Baltimore or Mike Williams at Minnesota? Only because Mark in Michigan wanted to hear the answer.
I like both of those matchups and would probably play both of them, but if you're making me pick one, I would probably take Mike Williams by a little bit. Minnesota did not look good in really any facet, but in pass coverage last week as well.
Okay, guys. Well, we got less than a minute left. We got to go through this quick. Brian, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you mentioned at the top of the show on Twitter, Brian_Fontaine. I run the Dynasty section over at Pro Football Focus Fantasy. I write the weekly Dynasty Slants, also oversee the Dynasty rankings. So if you got a question, hit me up on Twitter.
Okay, Eric, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
Sure, I run the Twitter account for DynastyLeagueFootball.com. Also write a little bit on the site, but the Twitter handle is DLFootball. And I'm on there quite a bit, posting things, retweeting, so feel free to ask me questions.
Absolutely, guys. He's all over it. And finally, Bill, last but not least, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can follow me on Twitter, WildBill0962, although I'm considering changing that because of the numbers. Very original. And, yeah, follow me on my blog, fantasycorral.blogspot.com.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. I'm Fantasy Taz. Follow me on Twitter. Everybody have a great weekend. Good luck with all your fantasy games this week. May you all win all of your games except where you're playing me. Everybody have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks, guys, for coming out for a great show. Everybody in the chat room for joining us. It was excellent. All you people listening on archive, we hope you enjoy the show as well. Thanks, everybody, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Taz.
Thanks
a lot, Jim.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.